It's SEAT's beautifully created Autumn Drive. You can drive a new Ibiza FR for £199 per month with an initial rental of £199. Plus, we'll give you an extra £500 when you test drive any new SEAT. Price inclusive of VAT for retail customers with a 48-month personal contract hire agreement on selected FR models ordered by the 31st of December and registered by March 31st, 2017. 18s and over, subject to status, T's and C's and exclusions apply. £500 is put towards your monthly rentals. SEAT Financial Services. Find out more at seat.co.uk.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cullen. We've got Nico Riesgo. Nico, how are you?
Russ Cullen, my man.
Well, we're going to talk about a little hot stove baseball. I want to let people know a little programming note since, you know, next week is Christmas and the week after New Year's. We'll be back January 8th after this show. But we'll get in some good baseball talk now while we're getting through this winter, although today was fairly warm for both of us. So let's first talk about, we'll wish well to Rod Carew, who had a heart and kidney transplant surgery successfully. I did a book a couple of years ago with Howie Carpin called Baseball's Best Rookies. I was trying to get Rod Carew, get some quotes from him, because he was a fantastic rookie. But I knew he was battling some health problems then. Didn't know the severity of it, and glad to see he's doing better, because he really was a classy player. We all kind of copied his stance at times. He had that open stance that was crazy, but worked. Really one of the best pure hitters I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's in one of the biggest battles of his life. He got the heart transplant and the kidney transplant all in one, and he's definitely recovering there, and definitely, I guess he's made an impression on every, I think, baseball player's lives just watching him perform. He was an inspiration for all of us, just the way he battled every single at-bat and every single pitch. He would battle it off, foul it off, foul it off. And he was one of the hardest players ever to get out. Kind of remind me of kind of like another Tony Gwynn, just kind of like a natural left-handed hitter.
Yeah, definitely a great player, Hall of Famer. So we do wish him well. So it looks like a New Jersey court dismissed the Jerry's Familia domestic violence case, but that doesn't mean he's, you know, out of the woods with Major League Baseball. He's likely to get a 30-game suspension, Familia, that is, same as Aroldis Chapman. He had a 30-game suspension as well. I think that's just, and I do think that, you know, it was fair. It will be fair if they do that. That's the rumor.
Yeah, you know, and it's terrible that he went through that, and just seeing what Chapman did just the year before, and that kind of like, I mean, 30 games, that's a big deal. I mean, that kind of killed the Yankees, you know, the beginning of the year, missing Chapman, and one of the reasons why they were willing to let him go. And then now Familia's out. I mean, if he's got to sit out 30 games, I mean, that's just, the Mets can't afford that. I mean, who's going to replace him?
You know, it'll be interesting. I've heard Wheeler's name come up. Maybe it'll do that, because he won't be able to pitch a full season otherwise. So maybe Zach Wheeler will be the guy. If it's not him, I'm not sure, because like Jerry Blevins would have been a good player for that, but they didn't retain him because he had closer experience. So I don't know, but I like the idea of Zach Wheeler. I think with the kind of makeup he has, the gas he can throw, we'll see what he looks like post-surgery. He was already throwing, you know, last year until they shut him down. I kind of like the thought of that. I do.
Yeah, we'll see. They're going to need somebody to step up big time, because they're going to need to win every single game that they can. I mean, the Nationals are going to be coming right back at it, and it's going to be a nice little pennant race. You think Miami will maybe coming back at it, another run at it. So the East Division is going to be pretty competitive.
Yeah, I think it'll be very competitive. I think this will be a hiccup for the Mets. It's it's one that will definitely cause a problem for him for sure. And I don't know. I mean, you know, this is one of those things now where they didn't make many moves. You know, they signed Yoenis Cespedes, fantastic, but they didn't really pick anybody else up. When Todd Walker decided he would stay with the Mets really didn't have a choice, and they retained him on that qualifying offer. So that's like an automatic thing with players if they decide they want it. So beyond that, they didn't really do much. And so now you kind of wonder if they're going to have to sort of groom somebody for that.
Yeah, they don't need any distractions. That's one thing they don't need is distractions. And they're going to have, said it's going to be a talk of the town come spring training, and it's going to be on everybody's mind. And these are the kind of things that just are just disasters for ball clubs.
Yep, but you know what? Player did it. Player deserves it. Doesn't mean that, you know, just because something was dismissed in court doesn't mean it didn't happen. So that's the way it goes. You have to live with it. So let's continue on the baseball talk. There was somebody you wanted to bring up. I forget the name already.
Yeah, Tim Raines, I think this is going to be his last run for the Hall of Fame, and I think he's going to get it this time. I mean, if he is left out, I mean, I don't know how many players are going to ever be better than Tim Raines, so we might as well not ever elect anybody else.
You know the reason. The reason he's being kept out is, you know, his nickname, Rock, we know what that stands for, and so that's been haunting him. That's probably the only reason he hasn't been put in at this point. But getting past that, I certainly would put him in. I mean, he was an exciting player. You know, look, there are some things about his game where you say, all right, I'm not sure if it's Hall of Fame-like, but, you know, his lifetime average, 294 after 23 years, very, very good. He did have, how many steals is that? 808. That's a ton. He did have 2,600 hits. You know, he didn't get 3,000. You'd like him to get 3,000. If he'd gotten 3,000, he would have been a lock. So he didn't get 3,000. You know, he didn't have the 300 average, but still really good player. The things that hurt him is, yeah, he was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-time All-Star, but never won an MVP. He did win one Silver Slugger, but they don't count that heavy. He didn't win any real major awards. And so that was another thing. The World Series, I don't hold that against him. I mean, he certainly had his chances on some clubs. We wrote about how the Montreal Expos got ripped off. So that's not his fault. But he actually, when you look at MVP voting, he never got higher than fifth.
No, and when you look at it, he wasn't the dominant greatest player in the league, but he was always a good player. Every single year he's a good player.
Well, but this isn't the Hall of Good. This is the Hall of Fame. Like, it's, you know, you have to really be fantastic. You really have to be one of the best players of your generation, or you don't deserve to get in. But, you know, that said, I'm looking to see where he ranks steals-wise. Let's see. I want to say he's top 10. Could be higher than that. But, you know, that's where we're sort of looking. He was a great fielder, don't get me wrong. Scored a lot of runs. It's tough. I mean, it's close. It's really close. This is one of those where if he doesn't get in, I can't kill the committee. And, you know, I've never been a fan of the committee, but, you know, this is one of those times where it's really, really close.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at the 800 stolen bases right there, I should tell you, I mean, that's a special player right there. I mean, who steals 800 bases?
Well, Lou Brock did. I mean, you know, there's guys. There's
yeah, they're in the Hall of Fame. I mean,
not all. No, actually, that's not true. I will get you the all-time steals leaders list, and you will be shocked. But not everybody is in the Hall of Fame. All right.
Yes.
Here,
Speed is
here
so
is
underrated.
Yeah, but, you know, but here's the thing. So Ricky Henderson is 1,406. He's in. Lou Brock, 938. He's in. Billy Hamilton, 912. Not in. Who else?
Billy Hamilton already has 912?
No. There was a Billy Hamilton that played in the late 1800s. I wrote about him. It's going to be in an upcoming book called The Pioneers of Baseball. And I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. He played, his career was from 1888 to 1901. He had steals. And I think this guy is a potential Hall of Famer. Like, I don't know how he's been overlooked this whole time, but I'm trying to get his single season steal marks here. But he was a really top notch player. He actually hit 400 once with the Phillies, hit 404, and yeah, he's not in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, when you look at that, and actually he was voted one of the greatest players of his decade. So, just goes to show you. Now, Reigns is in, you know, he's third, fourth, he's fifth. And so, the one guy's not in, and he's not in.
Okay. Well, everybody else is in the Hall.
Everybody else is in. And so that's, you know, that's where you sort of look at it and say, okay, this is an interesting thing now because it's certainly not a guarantee. But, you know, I wasn't trying to say you weren't right by saying, hey, a guy with 800 steals doesn't deserve to be in the Hall. It's just, you know, this guy's just not. And so we'll see. We'll see how it sort of works out. It looks like Billy Hamilton was 5'6". Oh, you know what? It looks like he did get in the Hall of Fame via the Veterans Committee in 61. So he is in.
There you go. Nice.
All right, so it looks like then the only one that's not in is Reigns.
In the top five?
So, in the top five.
Okay.
So that, you know what? That is. Makes it a better argument now. Makes it a better argument. Like I said, I'm partial to him. I would certainly put him in. I have
no
problem.
Yeah, when you look at his overall
game,
his defense, he had a great defensive game too, as well. So
he did. He had
defense.
A great defensive
great
game. He was definitely one of the better defenders of his era, no question about it. Pretty complete player, no question about that. No, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. So
we need more Expos in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think Carter is the only one, right?
Yeah, Dawson, I think, went in as a Cub.
Dawson did not go in. Did he? Let's see. Who did he? I don't. Well, I think at that point they weren't picking teams anymore. I think that's what the thing is.
Oh.
Remember? Now they don't do that anymore. Like they. Let's see. No, they did give him an Expos cap. Okay, I just wasn't remembering correctly on that. So two, Carter and Dawson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he'd be the third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, if he can get in. He'd be the third Expo. I mean,
you know, they all play on the same team, too. That's like three Hall of Famers on the same team.
Yeah. There's only two New York Mets, you know, so the fact that if you can get three Expos, that's pretty good for the Expos.
Considering they all play on the same team, too, as well.
Yeah, it does show. It does show a certain amount of dominance that they had. So we'll see. We'll see how it.
Has there ever been three Hall of Famers on one team?
Oh sure, yeah. I mean, 27 Yankees. You know, you had Gehrig, you had Ruth, you had Bill Dickey. You know, those guys are all Hall of Famers right there. Lazzari, maybe a Hall of Famer. Let's see. And if that's the case, then he'd be a fourth. Let's see. Tony Lazzari. Yep, he's in the Hall of Fame, too. So that's a fourth.
Four Hall of Famers on one team. That's amazing.
I might be more. Hold on. It could be more. Let's see.
Yogi Berra? Yogi on that team?
No. He didn't play in the 20s. Just from looking, I got one more guy to check. I'll check Bob Musel, but I don't think he's in. No, he is not in, and I don't think Early Combs is in. Yep, he is. So that's five.
Holy cow. On
yeah.
The 27.
Gehrig, Lazzari, Ruth. Early Combs. So wait, one, two, three. No, four, I mean. And then wait, but we may have a fifth. Mark Koning, did he make it? No. So four. Four from the same team.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's got to be the record there.
I would think it would be. I'd be kind of shocked if it isn't. I'm just checking the pitchers real quick. Oh, no, Wade Hoyt, he's in, so that's five.
Mm.
Let's see if Herb Pennick got in. Herb Pennick is in, that's six.
Mm.
So, yeah, you're not going to beat that.
No, six Hall of Famers on one team.
It could be more. I'm stopping at six.
You're stopping, okay. That's the 27 Yankees, huh?
27 Yankees. You know, Murderers Row and all that. They, you know, they're pretty good. So we.
Ooh.
But that's cool. It's cool. I don't think you'll see that anymore ever again because guys stay together longer and we know all the reasons. So I think that's just sort of a dying thing. So it looks like. Jake Arrieta got an embarrassing tattoo because he lost a bet. Let's see what this bet was. Arrieta,
some college tattoo or something?
Yeah, CCU 16 champs. So let's see what this is about. Arrieta and La Stella made a bet back in June on the College World Series that featured alma maters. Oh, okay, TCU. Well, Estella is a Coastal Carolina alum, so Arrieta went to TCU. Obviously, Coastal Carolina won, so he had to get the tattoo. And he took a picture of it. He put it on Instagram. You know what? I got to tell you, I have tattoos. I'm not betting my skin for somebody else's amusement. Not doing it.
No, not on your pitching shoulder either. I mean, I hope it wasn't his pitching arm.
It doesn't matter. That wouldn't matter. But I wouldn't put that up for grabs in a bet. Like, that's just silly.
It's just bad luck, I think. You got a tattoo on your arm that you don't even want on there.
Of a team you don't even, right, of a
That'd
team you
crazy.
Don't even care about.
Yeah, how could you ever throw another strike?
He'll throw. I'm pretty sure Jake Arrieta will throw strikes.
He's going to be haunted by the tattoo.
I do need to mention Scott Darling, who's a goalie for the Chicago Blackhawks. He actually got into a game in Philly. Now he's good. He's been the backup for a few years, but he actually started a game in Philly that I covered a week ago when the starting goalie that morning. had an extreme appendicitis, had to get rushed into surgery. And so now it turns out he may be starting the Winter Classic, which is the outdoor game, in St. Louis January 1st. And so he debuted his mask, and it honors the Cubs. And that's kind of cool. I mean, the Cubs won the World Series. He's got it on there. Looks like he has Chicago number 44. So, because I believe that's his number two. So that's kind of cool. Who wore number 44? Is that
Yeah,
Rizzo?
It is kind
okay.
of a great dedication to the Cubs there. I mean, you think that the
yeah.
hockey goalie is going to go ahead and give a tribute to them. Where are they going to be? In St. Louis?
In St. Louis, yeah. It'll be at Busch Stadium. But, yeah, it looks like the right side of the mask is Rizzo, so that's his number. And the other side is Harry Carey. So that's cool. That just shows you how big that Cubs win was. And look, the Blackhawks are multiple Stanley Cup winning team themselves. But those kinds of cities are tight. But it's good because this game gets played, you know, this hockey game gets played in a baseball stadium. This will be the first one I'll be missing. Sportsology will be there, though, so we'll have somebody covering it. I'm actually going to be in Toronto for this thing called the Centennial Classic, which is an outdoor game. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are actually celebrating their 100th year of operation. So anytime you could celebrate 100 years, that's pretty good. Baseball obviously has gone past that for teams, but for them, that's pretty good. So
you're going to be in Toronto with them, huh?
Yeah, I'll be in Toronto, and then I have another guy who will be there. We do also need to pay our respects to Venezuelan pitching prospect for the Yankees, Alexander Figueredo, who was shot and killed in November. It just got reported the other day. He was shot at a party, and poor guy, 20 years old. He didn't pitch in 2016, but the year before in the Dominican League, he was 5-0 with a 1.89 ERA. That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. How come he didn't pitch last year? I mean, it seemed like he's trouble when you're not pitching. That's when things happen to you. It seems like.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. I mean you know better than anybody. I mean, you do want to just stay in the game, and I think you make a great point that's something where that's an important thing to do.
Yeah, you want to play. You want to be at that ballpark every day. It's kind of like therapy. You know what I mean? You just show up every day. You just give it your all, and you leave it all in the ballpark, and then you just got to go home, get some rest, and then do it again the next day. I mean, it just never stops.
Yeah, so Joey Votto looking for a new contract. Actually, not looking for a new contract. What he's doing is he keeps invoking the no-trade clause part of his contract. So he won't allow himself to be traded. Is that fair or unfair? Like, at some point, even though it is in your contract as a player, should you say to the team, yeah, you know what? I get it. You're rebuilding. I'll go to, you know, X, Y, or Z. I don't want to, but I'll do what's right for the organization. You gave me all this money. You know, how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that certain players, I mean, the longer you're there, you get certain benefits. And he's been there long enough to get to no trade. And, you know, that's a big thing for players because, you know, when you're looking at it, I mean, not everybody gets traded to the best team. And, you know, it's not every day you go from worst to first. It's more likely you go from first to last. And that's the worst. And it reminds me of one time I was playing down in the Mexican League, and we had won the first half of the season and guaranteed to be in the playoffs. And that's where all the money is, in the playoffs. And then come second half, decided to trade me. Because we already made the playoffs in the first half. They traded me to the last place team in the other division. So I went from first place guaranteed playoff money to now last place, and we're fighting to death just to get into some playoff money. So I had to do it all over again, and it's really frustrating for a player to go through.
So you think it's
like
okay?
So
you say, hey, it's part of the contract. Tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's his advantage to do that. He doesn't want to go nowhere. He wants to make sure if he goes somewhere, he's going to go to the Yankees or someone who's got a chance to win.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. But if they, you know, you kind of wonder if a team like the Yankees was interested in him. Like, that's the thing. I mean, clearly he's probably doing this because of his family, but I'm just saying it's just an interesting thing where, you know, you don't know what's really going on there.
And he doesn't want any surprises either. That's another thing in the game, just these surprises where you just wake up one day and you're all of a sudden in Minnesota and be like, what? What happened? It's like
you built
a nice family and a community, and that's the one thing you don't want is surprises in this game. You work so hard to get there, and you want people to at least you want to get an idea of where you're going to be at, and if they're going to trade you, it would be nice for them to talk to you about it, that's for sure, give you an opportunity to okay it.
Okay. Cubs are close to signing Koji Urahara. Let's see if they signed him or not.
Is that another
pitcher? Cubs aren't. He is. Yes, he is a pitcher, but he's 41 now. He pitched for the Red Sox. And I guess, let's see. Nope, they did get him signed. 1 year, $6 million. At 41 years old, they signed him away from the Red Sox.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought he sounded familiar. He's been in baseball since 2009. I thought he sounded familiar. I didn't think he was a new guy, a posting fee guy. In 8 seasons, 2.71. ERA, oh wait, actually, no, is that right? 2.53 ERA in 8 seasons. He's got 93 saves. So he's good for about 25 saves a year, except last year he only got 7. I don't know. It seems like a fair price for this guy, but 41. We'll see.
41, they need somebody to replace Chapman, though. I mean, after seeing Chapman and after winning a World Series, it's going to have hard to replace Chapman, that's for sure. They're going to need all the arms they can get.
Yeah, but this is an old arm. This is somebody where I get that they want to replace Chapman. This guy's not a big, you know, he doesn't throw heat. I mean, he struck out 63 in 43 innings, but the year before, he struck out only struck out 47 and 43. Actually, no, he's been more than a strikeout inning. For some reason, I didn't think he got that many strikeouts. But, he does. So this might be a good replacement for Chapman. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
You might be
especially
right.
Especially for that price. Yeah, for that price, if you can get that production, you're going to be just a great deal.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, if they are getting that production for that price, that is sort of a big deal. You're right about that. You're right. All right, we've got just under 2 minutes left, Nico. If you got something you want to plug, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, today I want to plug the Apple Watch today. Go ahead and get your watch. Check the time. Love the technology.
Okay, and you can go to Amazon.com, get our book, Strike 3. You can go get my other book, Baseball's Best Rookies. My Ranger book, 100 Things Ranger Fans Should Know or Do Before They Die, or Philadelphia Flyers, Images of Sports, all there already for the holidays. Wish everybody a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all those things. Nico, best to you, to your family as well, and we'll be back, and a Happy New Year, and we'll be back January 8th.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Russ.
All right, I'll see you.
My man.